You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
Yes, so with the return of the Community Garden, we talked to Fenua Warrior. So that is a cool trust, as you'll find out, operated by Kelly Marie Francis, who we have had on the show before discussing Rahina Hoora, which I believe reached its final session yesterday. That was, of course, the program that was happening in at the Griffiths Garden Inn on Wellesley Street in central Tamaki-Makaurau that was looking at Maramataka and the effects that that has, and just kind of regenerating our knowledges around that and around ourselves in kind of the respects of Maturanga Māori. So I decided to discuss Kelly's personal, but not necessarily limited to her project, Fenua Warrior, and find out what it is about.
Fenua Warrior is an idea that I came up with which would help our communities to survive a little bit easier. The vision of Fenua Warrior as a charitable trust is to be able to build an edible, accessible organic garden for every New Zealander. And the mission is to feed the community, teach the community to feed themselves, and then empower them to feed each other. Some of the things that we've done, we've built 400 gardens across from Karaya down to Taranaki, and a majority of them have been koha to the community or given to the community without any costs being involved. You can hear in the background our chickens, sorry. We've also won a few awards for the work and commitment that we've given to our communities, and the way that we build these gardens is by reflecting on the solution that our tūpuna had and bringing it forward to today's problem. The reality is that we're the first and only people to have these particular issues in front of us, and I think we have a way of being able to look back and see what they did to help people to survive and bring that forward to today.
Right, so when you say these issues in front of us, what do you mean by those issues?
Well, I think there's a few of them, but the majority of my work helps with food poverty and helping people to survive easier, feed their children easier, understand the use of the land as well, the way that we should be using the land, and appreciating what we have in front of us instead of, you know, getting sick or creating mental health issues, or, you know, if we look at the issues that are right in front of us, our suicide rates, our incarceration rates, all of those kinds of things, I believe come from having a lack of sense of belonging and not knowing exactly who you are and what makes you happy. So we try to provide a space with the land and being able to educate people with how we reconnect to each other and to the things that actually do matter, which in my mind are the land and the people.
This is a very naive question, and especially concerning the context that we're in Aotearoa, but why do you think there's a kind of lack of belonging of the people of Aotearoa?
I think it's the big C word, colonisation. I didn't expect to get that quickly into it, but I think with how the past generations have been treated, it's kind of left us a little bit blind. And I mean us in all sense as well. Sense of belonging comes from understanding who you are and where you come from. And I think there's been a lack of importance put on that through our education system. And it also means that there's nothing for us to understand as ours and belongs to us. And without that, we don't really have it in our minds to formulate something that we can actually contribute to the communities in the wider world. So I think sense of belonging comes from knowing who you are and where you come from and you know, connecting to the people and to the land. And that's what space I try to create with the communities that are following Fenua Warrior.
Indeed. So could you explain to the listeners how you think the lack of a sense of belonging leads into the problems that we talked about earlier?
I've seen in a few of our people the 9-to-5 mentality type lifestyle being the only one that's in front of them. So we've been trained and educated to believe that money will bring us happiness. The way we get money is via our education system. The way that we enjoy education is in a school, inside a block of rooms that one person will teach us one set of curriculum for. I disagree fully with all of that. I think that we should be exploring other systems that are more Indigenous and create a connection to our land and our people rather than a connection to a set of books that give you education, that education giving you money, that money giving you a career. I don't think that system is the best for all people of New Zealand, let alone all people of the world. It's a little more than self-sufficiency as well. It's finding a way to understand the environment to a point where you can start recording it, discussing it, predicting it, and then benefiting from it. And that's something that I teach as well, something we picked up over in Hawaii when we were there. I think it's far more important than what we're being taught in schools at the moment. And if we were to concentrate on learning about our people and our environment, then that would give us a different sense of knowledge, which would give us a different set of actions, which would obviously change the world eventually. So yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm going with the sense of belonging thing. And
certainly. So you said at the start that you're out at Ihamata at the moment in the Kaitiaki village as well. For the listeners, could you give them, we've covered it before, but a brief recap on what's happening at Ihamatau and what the Kaitiaki village actually is?
We have a group of people down here who are Kaitiaki, who are guardians of the environment out here and guardians of the people out here. The land is in dispute at the moment. It was confiscated back in the 1800s from Māori people and then gifted back to Pākehā, who have sold it on to council, who sold it to a massive building corporation called Fletcher's. What we're doing is asserting our right to defend our rights and trying to protect this land from desecration, any further desecration. And long story short, you know, keeping it real, we're just providing a space where people can understand why it is that we want to save this land. It's a beautiful green space. It used to be used for gardens, so you can see my interest in helping to save the land. And the gardens that are out here used to feed the entire of Auckland. It was also a space where food was traded internationally as well, which allowed for an economy and a set of entrepreneurs that would travel between Japan, Ireland, our Pacific Islands, and trade food from Ihumato, because it's got an access point to the moana as well, the ocean. What we're doing is just allowing a space for people to come down and connect and understand that the land can give you reasons to look forward to being awake and being alive. And you know, we also allow a space where you can bring kids and you can bring kuia kaumātua, our elderly people. Kaitiaki Village is a space that has no power, no water, no running water, no flushing toilets, but we've made it into a sufficient space that we can host workshops in and bring people from our tourism industry through to our Indigenous industry. We had four workshops running on Sunday, which attracted 80 of our community. 35% of those 80 people were first-timers, and then the rest were returners from previous workshops where they wanted to learn more. And the space has been created just so that we can, you know, allow a passing on of our mātauranga or our Māori knowledge or Indigenous knowledge or local knowledge as well. It's also a space where we hold a residence. So we have people who have set up in cars, camper vans, caravans, buses, cabins, and we also have access to a house as well, where we remain in solidarity to protect and preserve this land. And yeah, it's a place I call home now.
So how can and what do people do when they go out to the Kaitiaki village? How can people get involved in these workshops and what will they be doing when they go out there?
Yeah, so we have a solidly running working bee/Kaitiakitanga workshop that runs on Sundays from 10 to 1. You can find the events on the Whenua Warrior Facebook page. So jump on there. Every event that we have in Kaitiaki village will be posted up on that page just so that we can keep everybody connected. But the different types of things that we've done, we have done tree planting, native tree planting. We did 120 plants, kānuka plants, in one paddock so that we could provide food for our bees, which we're going to start doing workshops on as well. We've also done native planting area, which we taught children and adults and our elderly to connect to the tree via our Māori, our life essence. in the exchange of Māori. We've also started up a seedling house in one of the old cow sheds, so you can come down and learn about seeds, seedlings, fertilisers, all organic fertilisers. We have a punawai, or a freshwater spring, just behind it as well, so we're now doing riparian planting to work on our water access and continue the spring from underground. We've also built compostable toilets, four of them. We're looking at doing shower cubicles. We want to start doing tiny houses as well. We are looking at trying to start an enterprise that cleans up the whenua by getting rid of firewood that's fallen from the trees, and just in general care of the land itself. So you could come down here and chop wood if you wanted to. And then on the less physical side of things, we've also run workshops where we do a lot of painting, a lot of artwork. We make signs to assist us with our walks and our protesting. We have taken the kids out for treasure hunts to go and find pine cones and pine needles and, you know, different Māori rock. If they're really, really good children, then we go and collect cow poo. they generally love doing that, so that's cool. And then we also do writing workshops as well. So this is an option that we offer out to our school groups that come through. We get a lot of people through, and if it's a rainy day, then we get everybody inside and we ask them to write down how they feel about the planned construction on this land. And then we send the letters off to Jacinda Ardern. We've done about 700 letters now, and they're all stamped and all on the way down to Jacinda as we speak. And yeah, as I said before, we try to provide a space that suits everybody's skill. And yeah, that's just a couple of things we've done in the past few months as well.
Amazing. It sounds like it's all going on out there. Mm. I've got one final question, and that is, if the listeners could learn one thing from Whenua Warrior or what's going on at Ihe Mātou at the moment, what would that one thing be?
I think the most important thing, and the thing that takes up a majority of all of our kaitiaki's time, is the fact that we've created a hapū here. So hapū meaning wider community, and the reason that that's important to know is because we are now so aligned with each other's values and so aligned with the whenua's values that we can predict how each other's going to feel. We understand our energies to a level where we can complement each other depending on each other's responsibilities. So as an example, we all eat together. We all generally sleep, not together, but sleep at the same time. And what that actually allows us to do is understand the other person's energies. We all meet in the morning and have a kōrero based on what it is that we have to do today, who it is that we have coming in, our expected and planned workshops, and then we all sit there, eat, and rejuvenate our energies. And the reason why that's important to me is because I've never seen it happen before. I've never lived it before, but I feel like this is exactly how our tūpuna, our ancestors, used to live, because it just makes more sense. It makes sense to understand the people that are around you and have the exact same values as them and do exactly the same things because of those values. We do love showcasing all of our connection and our partnerships to the wider community, because it then opens up your mind to an alternative way of living. And I don't mean, you know, sell up the house and live in a tent. I mean more, let's try and understand what it is that each other around us needs, what it is that the whenua needs, the land needs. And then that is a far more rewarding way of living. And I know it because we've lived it for the last 18 months. So yeah, I think this is also something that's beneficial when people come here. They can see how it is that we live and how they could possibly change their lifestyles to become happier people.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.
That was